بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading what Ibn Rajab he had mentioned رحمه الله تعالى with regards to the issue of repentance and forgiveness and clarifying the traits of the people of التقوى, the traits of the people whom Allah has prepared paradise for, and the traits of those whom Allah loves and is pleased with, and those who have good with Allah, whether they have the paradise, the traits of those who will see their Lord in the hereafter, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is that they leave off the major sins, along with performing all of the righteous actions that we have been discussing, from them the obligatory first and foremost, and the likes, and as well they leave off the prohibitions, and they avoid the major sins specifically, and also the minor sins, they strive to avoid them as well, and they are always seeking forgiveness from their sins, and they are people who have honor and love in their heart and reverence for the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Deen, and for the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His religion. So we were reading the statement, the author he is mentioning about the issue of the kabair, or the issue, excuse me, of the as-sagair, that they turn into kabair. When? When you persist upon them. With what? What's the word in Arabic? Al-Israr. Al-Israr. With Sa'd. Min asarra yusirru asirra israran. Naam. It means that istimrar, yani to continue, but it has another meaning, to be persistent. Somebody already asarra ala shay, and he continued to do it regardless. He continued, yani, but yani, persisting. It has that extra meaning, like he knows and he continued anyways. Asarra alayhi. And he continued consecutively, back to back, being persistent. Like this, so he's talking about this issue. What was the statement that we learned yesterday about that? لا صغيرة مع الإصرار. لا صغيرة مع الإصرار. ولا كبيرة مع الاستغفار. There is no small sin, or there is no minor sin, along with persistence. Along with persistence. And there is no major sin, along with seeking forgiveness, seeking forgiveness. That was a statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, radiallahu anhuma. La saghirata ma'al israr. So this is the issue. There's no minor sin along with persistence. The one who persists and continues blatantly to disobey, even if it's not considered a major sin, that persistence and that consistence and continuance upon that way turns it into a major sin. And the Salaf, they used to say, don't look at the size of the sin, but rather look at the greatness of the one you are disobeying and the one you are sinning against. So therefore, the believer, he will take these prohibitions with respect and honor, and they will be heavy in his heart. They'll be heavy in his heart. He will never say, oh, it's just a minor sin. Oh, it's just a minor sin. Even if it's a minor sin, he will still feel like, as Ibn Abbas, he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, that, or Ibn Mas'ud, as Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, he would feel like it's a mountain over his head about to fall on him and crush him. And meaning from the weight, meaning from the weight. This is because of the reverence that they have in their heart, and the honor and the love that they have for Allah, that is sincere and true and strong. So therefore they have a great concern for these commandments and these prohibitions and for the deen of Allah. And this is what is the delight of their eye, to be upon the straight path and to be in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the likes like this. So whenever they fall short, it hurts them. And this is a good thing for them, and this is a sign of their strong faith, that it affects their heart, that their heart is alive. Even though they slip, even they fall into shortcomings, or they fall into sin, it affects their heart, and they have remorse and they repent. So again, here the issue about the sins. So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, a noble verse from Surah Ash-Shura, and he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. In the portion of the verse, he began like this, rahimahullah, and that which is with Allah is better and more lasting. And what is this referring to? That which is with Allah is better and more lasting. Al-Jannah. And Jannah, meaning the paradise. That which is with Allah, the paradise, is better and more lasting. It's better and more lasting. And even everything in this life is greater and it's better and more pleasing and more delightful than anything in this life. And it never ends, alhamdulillah. Like this, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Who are the people that would have this reward? The question might come now. Who are the people that would have this reward? And who has that which is with Allah, that which is better and that is everlasting? Who would have that which is better with Allah Azza wa Jal and that which is everlasting? Those people, Allah, He describes them now in the next portion of the verse. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. For those who believe and they put their trust and reliance upon their Lord. There are people who have faith. They have sincere and correct iman. Meaning they have iman in their heart that produces the righteous actions. Because at iman, it is a statement on the tongue and a belief in the heart. And it is actions on the body parts. So therefore, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that which is with Allah is better and more everlasting or more lasting, meaning for those who believe. Those who believe the correct belief. The belief that produces the good speech. The good and upright and noble speech and manners and conduct. And likewise, the righteous and good, the good actions. And they have trust and reliance and they put their faith upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to achieve all of their endeavors. And from that, to worship Him. First and foremost, to establish His Tawheed and to be upright upon His commandments and to avoid His prohibitions, they put their trust upon Allah Azza wa Jal to achieve this. And they rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them and to help them and to show them the right way. And they take the means as well. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So they gather between sincere faith and action and likewise reliance and trust upon Allah. And this is the means for success. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the beginning of His book. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid and help. You need seeking the help of Allah, putting one's trust and faith, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong and capable and able to help one and to guide one, and then he will trust and rely upon Him. الْإِسْتِيَانَ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالتَّوَكُّلْ عَلَيْهِ وَالْإِتِمَادِ عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. To trust Him and to rely upon Him and to seek His aid and help and assistance in every endeavor. In every endeavor. That's why it's from the way of a Muslim that whenever he's proceeding upon something or as he's going to partake in something, whether he's eating or he's riding his vehicle or whatever the case he may be, whatever the situation he may be in, it's legislated for him to say, Bismillah. To say Bismillah. Kalimatu al-Istiana. Kalimatu al-Istiana. That he says Bismillah, seeking the aid and the help by beginning with the name of Allah, seeking the blessing and the aid and the assistance of Allah by beginning with His name. Like this. So this is the way of those people who have that which is with Allah. This is the way of the people of paradise. This is the way of the people of taqwa. And then he clarified again more traits. وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ. And they are those people who stay away from and avoid the major sins. And likewise the fawahish, the actions of indecency. What's the difference between the two? Is not the fawahish from the kaba'ir? Are not the fawahish from the kaba'ir? They are from the kaba'ir. What's the difference between the two? We mentioned yesterday. If the word fahish came by itself, then it's meaning the kaba'ir. It's meaning the kaba'ir. With fawahish by itself, it means the kaba'ir. If the kaba'ir comes, included from the kaba'ir, the fawahish. But here they're mentioned specifically, each one. So therefore, each one has a specific meaning. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that when it comes like this and they're coupled together in one context, al-kaba'ir wal-fawahish, al-ladina yajtanibun al-kaba'ir wal-fawahish, the major sins, then from the major sins are the fawahish. But the fawahish here being referred to those major sins that the heart desires and lusts for, that the soul it craves, that desires, it has zina, like fornication. Like the fornication, the heart and the soul, it is inclined to this, and the soul will call a person to that, to look at the women and to look at the beauty of the woman, for example, or the man for a woman, so on and so forth, calling to that. He has a desire in his heart for this, and a desire in his soul for this that has to be placed in the proper place. It has to be used in the proper manner. So therefore, the one who falls in that and uses that in the improper manner, this is called fahisha. Fahisha, indecency, very foul and vulgar sin. So whenever they're mentioned like this, then one of them is referred to the major sins. That is not like that. The other major sins, and this one here is with reference to the major sins that the sin that the soul calls the person to. وَإِذَمَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And also from their traits, the traits of the people of piety and righteousness, and the people who have that which is with Allah and that which is better, they are those that whenever they get angry, they forgive, they pardon the people. Whenever their little brother makes them angry, they forgive them, they pardon them. Huh? Their little brother does something wrong, or their little sister does something wrong. Huh? Sometimes like this, sometimes the little brother, he might do something wrong, right? Or make the big brother mad or upset. What should the big brother do? Yell at him? Huh? He should repress his anger, right? Because from the traits of the righteous is they repress their anger. This is the best place to try to apply these traits. And the one who can apply them in the house with his siblings, with his brother and his sister, and with his mother and his father, and with his children, and the likes like this, his relatives, those who are near to him, if he can learn how to apply these traits in these situations, then inshallah, whenever he faces the world, it'll be even easier for him. It'll be even easier for him. And to have these traits. And these people, they're the ones who have the most right for that. For us to repress our anger with regards to, and to overlook their faults and errors, and to correct them in a good manner. And to correct them in a good manner, so on and so forth, and not to take them to account for everything. وَإِذَمَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And whenever they become angry, meaning when somebody makes them mad, they forgive them, they pardon them. They forgive them, they pardon them. And the other verse in Surah Ali Imran that we had taken, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ. Those people that when they get mad, they get mad, they repress their anger. This is very important. This is very important from the manners of a believer, from the means of success and happiness in this life and in the hereafter, is to be in control of one's soul, and to be in control of oneself, and to be in control of one's tongue, and to be in control of what one is going to say. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. That whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him say that which is good or be silent. The one who is going to say that which is good or be silent, how could he do that? How could we apply this narration? What is required for us to apply this narration? And because many times somebody will get mad, or somebody will make them upset, and they'll say something they regret, or they'll say something that's very bad and not good, Annie. So this person who spoke like that, did he think before he spoke? Or if he did he say that which was good, or was he silent? Nah. So how can a person apply this narration? Say that which is good or be silent. This requires for you to think before you speak, to have patience. Now, to think before you speak, to think before you speak, you think about what you say. In order to say something that is good or be quiet, either you're going to say something good or you're going to be quiet. In order to do that, you have to think about what you're going to say first. You can't just speak. You can't just say what's on your mind or what comes to your heart or your tongue at that moment. But rather you have to think, is it good? Is it good for me to say this? Is it the proper time? Is it good? Is it good speech in the first place? Then is it the proper time for it to be said? Am I the one that should be saying it at this moment? So on and so forth. If so, then say it. If so, then say it. And if not, then one will be silent. If it's no good, one won't say it. Even if it's good, but it's not the proper time, one will also be silent, and he will wait for the proper time. Or maybe sometimes you have something good to say, but you're not the right one to say it at that moment. Maybe there's somebody else who needs to. Some people, they have to hear the knowledge or the information from others sometimes. So a believer, he will take these things into consideration and then speak. And then speak. And the Salaf, they used to say, Al-Kalimatu anta tamlikuha. In lam tukhrijha tamlikuha. Or in lam tukhrijha tamlikha. Wa in akhrajtaha malakatka. That the statement, if you don't say it, then you are in charge of it. But if you say it, it's in charge of you. It's in charge of you. Now, the statement. So if you don't say it, alhamdulillah, you're safe. But if you say it, you're going to have the repercussion. The repercussion. You're going to be held accountable for that statement. If it's good, alhamdulillah. If it's not good, then there's going to be an issue there. So whenever they're mad, what do? They forgive. And also they repress their anger. And from the greatest aspects of repressing the anger is to hold the tongue. Is to hold the tongue. And this requires strength. This requires true strength. But the one, barakallahu fikum, the one who remembers Allah, and he strives in this way, and he represses his anger, and he holds his tongue, not because of the people, but for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah, hoping for the promise of Allah. At that moment, he remembers Allah, and then he represses himself, and then he contains himself, And he makes the dhikr instead of saying what he thought he wanted to say. And the likes like this. Then he seeks refuge with Allah. Wallahi, that person, he will find a sweetness in his heart. The one who does this and he fights his soul like this. This is mujahid, jihad, and nafs, true jihad. The one who does this, whenever his family makes him angry, his little brother or his little sister or his big brother or his big sister, sometimes they make the little brother mad too, right? They do these things that kind of upset us in this manner. Or the wife or the husband, so on and so forth. And I mention in the house because, again, this is the asl. After that, alhamdulillah, everything is easy. The co-worker is easy to deal with. The people on the street or in the masjid or the brother or the sister is easy to deal with. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The one who learns how to repress his anger with the remembrance of Allah and hoping for the promise and the reward from Allah, he will find a sweetness. That heat will turn into sweetness. That heat that he is going under and that pressure that he's going under, it will turn into a sweetness. And he will remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it will aid him and it will rectify him. And they mentioned, for example, that the sword, how does it get sharp? How does the sword get sharp? How does a knife get sharp? A blade. Huh? You sharpen it. When you sharpen it, what do you do? What is that? You have to sharpen, you have to scrape it. It has to go through what? Friction. You gotta put it on a stone and put it through friction. Huh? And it gets hot. And it gets hot. But what happens after that? It becomes very sharp and very beneficial. Like that, a person who strives under pressure in the heat of situations. And whenever the discussions get hot and people start getting emotional and the likes like this, but this person, he contains himself and he deals with that according to the fear of Allah, according to that which is required to be from the people of taqwa, according to that which we have been studying. This person, he's sharpening himself. This person, he is beautifying himself. He is refining his soul and he is nourishing and cultivating his soul. And that which will come from that type of person is good. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he used to mention some lines of poetry about this. And he would say, يُخَاطِبُنِي السَّفِيهُ بِكُلِ قُبْحٍ فَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. That the Safi, the foolish, ignorant person, he talks to me in the most foul manner. So I dislike to even respond to him. يَزِيدُ سَفَاهَةً فَأَزِيدُ حِلْمًا كَعُودٍ زَادَهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. He said that he increases in his foolishness and I increase in my forbearance. Just like the fire increases the oud in a beautiful smell. And the bukhur, you have the bukhur, you know, the perfume, wood. When you put it on the fire, what happens? It smells good. The hotter it gets, the more it burns, what happens to the smell? It gets stronger, it gets better. He's saying he's like this. In these hot situations, the foolish person, he's talking crazy, he's talking loud, he's talking bad, maybe he's calling names or belittling and the likes like this. He doesn't like to respond to that type of person. The more he goes deep into that, the more he becomes forbearance. And so just like this, he becomes better and more beautiful and his manners become more upright and more rectified. Just like the oud, when you put it in the hot, on the hot coal, the hotter it gets, the more pleasant the smell becomes. The more pleasant the smell becomes. So in this manner, a believer, he refined himself. The one who strives to apply these manners and characteristics, the manners of a taqwa, he's refining his soul. He's purifying his soul. He's rectifying his heart. He's rectifying his manners. And this is a means to perfect the deen. We've seen that the people of a taqwa that have fulfilled the obligations of taqwa and the obligations of al-iman, they are the people who have the complete faith, the complete deen. They have the long thobe, the strong thobe, the beautiful thobe, the beneficial garment that protects them from the heat and protects them from the cold and protects them from the dangers. And it's a means of adornment for them. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. So this is from the traits of those people. وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And whenever they become angry, they forgive. They forgive the people. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. And they are people who respond to the call of their Lord. And they are people who respond to the call of their Lord. Meaning they comply to the commandments of Allah. They comply to Allah with tawheed and obedience. الْإِنْقِيَادُ لِلَّهِ بِطَاعَةٍ. They comply to Allah with obedience. This is what it means to respond to Allah. Allah is calling us to that which will give us life. He's calling us to that which, if we perform it and if we respond to His call, it will be nothing but good for us. It will be nothing but good for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُبَلِيفِ اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Respond to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever they call you to that which will give you life. to that which will give you life. Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the da'wah al-Islamiyah, the call of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the call of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the call to life, the true life, the life of happiness and success, the life of contentment and satisfaction, the life of safety and security from all types of worries and troubles and hardships and difficulties in this life and in the hereafter. In this life and in the hereafter. The true life is the life of obedience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life under the protection and in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life upon the guidance of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of striving against one's soul to remember Allah and to purify oneself and to repent from sins, and the likes. This is the good life. The good life, not simply pleasing the soul and pleasing the desires and getting money from any direction and having relations and the likes like this, but rather to be obedient to Allah and to partake in this dunya and what He has allowed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person a soul that is satisfied and content. A soul that is satisfied and content. Ghina and nafs. Ghina and nafs. He will have a rich soul. He will have a rich heart, meaning he will be satisfied and content with whatever situation he is in. He will have goodness. And you have khayr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for who? For those who respond to the call of Allah. لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ الْحُسْنَى. Allah, He mentioned that those who respond to the call of Allah, he will have, they will have al-husna, they will have paradise, they will have jannah. Those people who have al-husna, likewise Allah has a ziyadah for them. Again, to see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He's calling us. He's calling us to respond. To respond to Him. And those who respond to Him, they have a promise of paradise with Him that never ends. And they have a promise of forgiveness and mercy and happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. So these people who have this goodness with Allah that is lasting and never ending from their traits, likewise, yani, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. At Fajr time, Allah is calling you. Are you going to respond? Are you going to get up, remove the sheet from your stomach and get up? Or you want to make wudu and the likes like this whenever somebody's covered up at Fajr time? You're going to get up? Allah is calling you. You have to pray. You have to pray. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى مُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. That the prayer is prescribed upon the believers at specific times. This is a call. Those who respond to that call, they have the promise of paradise. Naam, it's a call from Allah Azza wa Jal to establish His deen, to establish His commandments, and to establish the straight path in one's life, in one's heart, in one's life, in one's heart, in his self, in his soul, in his manners, in his conduct. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And they are likewise those who establish the prayer. Is not establishing the prayer from responding to the call of Allah? What is the benefit of mentioning it then after that? To show the significance. It's very important. From responding to the call of Allah is the iqam as-salat. Sometimes affairs will be mentioned in general, and something from that same general affair will be mentioned specifically. And this is in order to show importance and concern for that affair. So from the greatest means of responding to Allah Azza wa Jal is iqam as-salat, to establish the prayer. To establish the prayer outwardly. Outwardly, كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And inwardly, likewise, with presence of mind and heart and humbleness and khushu' and fear and reverence and the like. So establishing the prayer. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورًا. And they deal and they conduct their business and mutual consultation. If they're going to take on an endeavor in the deen or in the dunya and in the affairs that are very important and the likes, they won't just make their own decision by themselves. Rather, they will seek consultation. They will get advice from the people of knowledge in their community and from the people they rely and they trust. The people of knowledge and likewise the people who are known for uprightness and they're known for good direction and good mind and a sound intellect and the likes like this. And also people who have specific knowledge with regards to the issue that one is going to delve into and become involved in. They seek advice. This is from the ways of the people of success, that they get advice from one another. They get advice from one another, and they seek consultation from one another. This is from the ways of the believers. This is from the ways of the believers. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which we have provided them, which we have provided them. These traits have come previously. What was from the benefits of that? وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. What is the benefit of the men here? وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This came when we discussed the verses in Al-Baqarah. And from that which we provided them, they spend. And they spend from that which we provided them. من بعضي نعم من التبعيضية. They say the people of knowledge, they say that من here, it means some. This is an indication that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not requiring us to spend all of our money. Everything He gives us, we have to spend it in charity or give it away to others. لا. مِمَّا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. From that which we provided them, from that, meaning it's a small portion. For example, if it's obligatory zakat, that's only a small portion from a large amount. A small portion from a large amount. Somebody who has a small portion, it's not obligatory for him to give zakat. Somebody who has a large portion, now it's an obligation for him to give from that large portion. How much? A small amount. رُبُعُ عُشُرٍ and 2.5%. A small amount. Huh? Very, very small amount. Na'am. So this is the case. مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. They spend. Meaning the obligatory spending, and likewise the non-obligatory spending. But even some of that they spend on their self. Even a person who spends wealth on himself, if he did it for the sake of Allah, this is considered a type of sadaqah. A type of sadaqah and charity. He would spend on himself. Any from that which is permissible, without going to extremes or extravagance and the likes like that. Spending on himself or spending on his family, spending on his wife and spending on his children, spending on his relatives and his mother and father, so on and so forth. This is all from the avenues of khayr and from the ways of taqwa. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. And those people that whenever oppression, they're afflicted with oppression, somebody oppresses them, takes their right, then they make intisar. هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. They take revenge, they defend themselves. They defend themselves. Somebody might misunderstand this. This is where we stopped in our previous class discussing this issue. That in one portion, Allah is describing these people that they forgive and pardon the people. And another portion in the same context, in the same verse, Allah is mentioning about them that whenever they are oppressed, they take revenge. They take revenge. How do we understand that? They defend their honor. And they still pardon. They defend their honor, meaning after they display that they have honor and they're not going to be humiliated, and that one cannot take advantage of them, and once that is shown, after that they pardon. After that they pardon. Because a believer, he will not belittle himself, and he will not humiliate himself in front of the creation. So he will not just let people take advantage of him and use him like that, and then in the end say, no, Allah wants us to forgive. La, a believer, he will defend himself and his reputation and his honor and his dignity, and then once that is clear, then he will pardon the people. He will discuss these issues here. This is what we will talk about, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The recompense of a bad deed is the like thereof. And you have a bad deed like thereof. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But as for the one who pardons and rectifies, then his reward is with Allah. So even after mentioning that, it's allowed to take a right for right. Somebody came and he harmed, you can harm him back equally. Somebody took one's right, he has the right to take that right back equally. If he takes more than that, he has oppressed. But better than that, and he has that right, a bad deed for a bad deed, an evil for an evil, a wrongdoing for a wrongdoing, one for one, not one for two. He punched him, so he punched him and kick him. La, he can't do that. If somebody, he punched him or slapped him, he will go to court, and if he wants his retribution, he will stand there, take him back. If somebody chips somebody's tooth, his tooth will be chipped, like this. If somebody poked his eye will be poked out, like this. Not both eyes. Even the ulama, they mentioned, for example, if somebody who has one eye poked somebody's eye out, and he's supposed to poke his eye out. Can't do it. Well, he only got one eye, because it would not be equal. If he poked his only one out, he's going to be blind. So he didn't make that person blind. He only made him blind in one eye. So there has to be another way to deal with the situation. Yani, because if he took the retribution like that, that would make that person blind. So therefore, yani, it's eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth, sin for a sin, like this. Yani? But the Allah, He mentions after that, that's permissible. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But as for those who pardon and rectify the situation, then his reward is with Allah. Allah encouraged to even pardon, although one has the right to take revenge and get his right back. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُفَأَجْرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Verily, he does not love the oppressors. So as for the one who goes beyond that, he didn't pardon, he didn't rectify, he wanted, and he didn't get only his right back, he increased, then verily Allah, he does not love the oppressors. A warning from that. So again, he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, فَهَذِهِ الْآيَاتُ تَضَمَّنَتْ وَصْفَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِقِيَامِهِمْ بِمَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّوَقُّلِ. وإقام الصلاة والإنفاق مما رزقهم الله والاستجابة لله في جميع طاعاته ومع هذا فهم مجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش فهذا هو تحقيق التوحيد. So he says again, rahimahullah ta'ala, that these verses here, they consist of the description of the believers, that they establish that which Allah has made obligatory upon them from the obligations of iman. And there's iman that's obligatory, al-iman al-wajib, they establish that. Also there's tawakkul, tawakkul al-wajib, it's obligation to have trust and reliance upon Allah azza wa jal. Wallahi fatawakkalu in kuntum mu'mineen, and put your trust and reliance upon Allah if you are believers. So these verses, they consist of describing the believers with establishing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani the obligation of iman and the obligation of tawakkul, and also establishing the prayer and spending from that which we have Allah has provided for them, and responding to Allah and all of His and all of His actions of obedience. And along with that, then they avoid and stay away from the major sins, and likewise the actions of indecency like fornication. And this, in reality, here, this issue here is called tahqiq at-taqwa. This right here is tahqiq التقوى, fulfilling the rights of التقوى. And then he said, وَوَصَفَهُمْ فِي مُعَامَلَاتِهِمْ لِلْخَلْقِ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. And likewise, he has described these people, the people who fulfill the rights of taqwa, that they, how they deal with the creation, that they deal with the creation with forgiveness whenever they become angry. وَنَدَبَهُمْ إِلَى الْعَفْوِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ. And he has encouraged them to, He has encouraged them to pardon the people and to rectify the affairs. He says, وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. And as for those that whenever they're afflicted by oppression, then they take revenge. فَلَيْسَ مُنَافِيًا لِلْعَفْوِ. Then this is not contrary to pardoning. This is not in opposition or in conflict with pardoning. So they're, each one has a specific place. He says, فَإِنَّ الْإِنْتِصَارَ يَكُونُ بِإِظْهَارِ الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى الْإِنْتِقَامِ. He said, because taking the revenge and defending one's honor and reputation and defending one's right, this is by displaying the ability to do that. Not necessarily meaning that he would do that, but by displaying the ability to do that. By showing the person that oppressed that he has the ability to defend himself. He has the ability to take revenge. This is what intended here. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. What does it mean al intisar? He says, فَإِنَّ الْإِنْتِصَارَ يَكُونُ بِإِظْهَارِ الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى الْإِنْتِقَامِ ثُمَّ يَقَعُ الْعَفْوُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. That intisar, and taking revenge, and defending oneself and his one right, defending one's right, is by displaying the ability to do that. And then pardoning after that display. After it is known that a person has the ability to defend himself, then after that he will pardon. فَيُكُونُ أَتَمَّ وَأَكْمَلُ. At this time, the pardoning will be more complete and more perfect. More complete and more perfect. Instead of just pardoning and belittling oneself and just having oneself get ran over and his right taken and the like that, rather he will defend himself. And then in the end, he will pardon. He says, قَالَ النَّخَعِي Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the 96. He says, في هذه الآية, with regards to this verse, كانوا يكرهون أن يستذلوا فإذا قدروا عفوا. That they used to dislike to be considered weak, or to be for someone to consider them to be humiliated, or that they would be humiliated, or that they would be taken advantage of and they would be put down. They didn't like that. So whenever they had the ability, and meaning they showed their power and ability, after that they pardoned. After that they pardoned. Meaning this is the way of the Tabi'een and the Sahaba. وَقَالَ مُجَاهِدٌ. Mujahid died in the year 104. Mujahid ibn Jabir. Both of them are from the Tabi'een. كَانُوا يَكْرَهُونَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. They used to dislike for a believer to belittle himself. فَيَجْتَرِئُ عَلَيْهِ الْفُسَّاقِ. Because if he were to belittle himself, then the wicked and the sinners, the people who do not fear Allah, they'll take advantage of him. They'll be bold and take his right. They'll be bold and take his right. Any chance they get, oh, there's so-and-so, somebody will come from the fusaq, from the people who don't fear Allah, and borrow money, for example. And then that person, they'll rip him off and they'll make an excuse. But this person, he's not somebody who's really, what is apparent from his situation, he's not somebody who fears Allah. And then he'll come and then he'll pardon him without anything. He'll go, no, don't worry about it, brother. he'll come again, that person, that type of person. If he does not fear them, maybe he'll come to the same person again, try to borrow some more money. But what happened last time? Like this, he'll try to take advantage of the person. And he'll be like, this person's weak. And he'll think like this. And some people who have a deficiency in their faith and in their iman, then they prey on these people. And they find that a person who is humble and a person who is following the deen, they find him to be a pushover. Or they find him to be somebody who is weak, and they'll take advantage of him. And the likes like this. So they take kindness for weakness. And this is a foul trait. But so some people, they do that. So a believer, he'll be aware of that. He'll be aware of that. And how will he do it? How will he deal with it? Like this. He'll let them know that he has the ability, and then after that, he'll pardon them. After that, he'll pardon them. He says, فَالْمُؤْمِنُ إِذَا بُغِيَ عَلَيْهِ يُظْهِرُ الْقُدْرَةَ عَلَى الْإِنْتِقَامِ ثُمَّ يَعْفُو بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. He said, so a believer, if he is oppressed, then he will display ability to take revenge and defend himself. And then in the end, he will pardon. He will pardon. The Salaf, they used to say, لَا عَفْوَ إِلَّا بعد القدرتي. And there's no pardoning except after having the ability. Somebody who doesn't even have the ability, somebody who's just overpowered, and then he pardons somebody, is he really pardoning them? He doesn't have no choice, he's overcome. But the one who's truly pardoning somebody, he has the ability to take the right. He has ability to act upon that and to display his authority. But with that ability, he pardons. That's what he means. فَيُكُونُ أَتَمَّ وَأَكْمَلُ. So at this time, his pardoning will be more complete and more perfect, because he has the ability. He can get his money back. He can get his right back. He can show that person that he's not weak, so on and so forth. But he doesn't do that. He pardons for the sake of Allah. So he says, وَقَدْ جَرَى مِثْلُ هَذَا لِكَثِيرٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ. The likes of this here has occurred with many of the Salaf. مِنْهُمْ قَتَادَةُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ وَغَيْرُهُ. And from them, Qatada. From them, Qatada. And other than him. Qatada, he is from the students of Anas ibn Malik. And he didn't mention here. He says, from them, Qatada. His name is Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sudusi. He's from the Tabi'een, from the students of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 117, and his khunya is Abu Khitab. Here, alhamdulillah, from the Hashiya, from the one who checked this work, he mentioned here that he says, Unzur al-Hilya, in the volume 2, page 340. So, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me success today. I have the book he mentioned here in the footnotes, Hilyatul Awliya wa Tabaqat al-Asfiya, by Abu Nu'aym al-Isbahani, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 430. A very famous book of the narrators and the biographies. So whenever I looked, alhamdulillah, I have the print, and the narration is here with the chain of Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, حَدَثَنَا عُبَيْدَ اللَّهِ ابْنِ مُحَمَّدٍ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا حُسَيْنِ ابْنِ مُحَمَّدٍ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا نُوحٍ ابْنِ حَبِيبٍ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ عَنْ مَعْمَرٍ عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ الصَّنْعَانِي مَعْمَر ابْنِ رَاشِدٍ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ صَكَّ رَجُلٌ ابْنًا لِقَتَادَةَ صَكَّ رَجُلٌ ابْنًا لِقَتَادَةَ. There was a man who punched and he slapped a son of Qatada. Qatada, he has one of his sons, a man slapped him. And he suck, yikun, on the face, punched him in the face, or slapped him in the face, like this, for a son of Qatada. So he says, فَاسْتَدْعَى عَلَيْهِ عِنْدَ بِلَالِ إِبْنِ أَبِي بُرْدَ فَلَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ إِلَيْهِ. So Qatada, he took this issue to Bilal ibn Abi Burda. And Bilal, he didn't pay attention. He didn't give no concern for the case. He took it to him. فَلَمْ يَتَفِتْ إِلَيْهِ. He didn't give concern to the case. And he tried to take this man who slapped his son, and he to take him to court to get his right back and to get his haq back. And whenever he took it there, the one in charge, Bilal ibn Abi Burda, he did not show any care or concern. فَشَكَاهُ إِلَى الْقَصْرِ. So Qatada, he went to Qasri, and he complained about the situation. فَكَتَبَ إِلَيْهِ. So he wrote to Bilal. Qasri, another individual, he wrote to Bilal. He said, إِنَّكَ لَمْ تُنْسِفْ أَبَا الْخِطَابِ. He said, verily, you are not just. He told the one who Qatada went to deal with his affair first, and he from the judge. He said, verily, you are not just with Abba al-Khitab. Abu al-Khitab was that? Qatada. Qatada. He said, فَدَعَاهُ وَدَعَى وَجُوهَ أَهْلِ الْبَصْرَ. So at this time now, Bilal, he called Qatada, and he called the noble ones, the noble individuals from the people of Basra. Qatada, he is ibn Di'am al-Sudusi al-Basri. Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sudusi al-Basri. He's from Basra. So now he's going to go to court, and Bilal, and so there's this Qatada and his son, and a man slapped his son. They're taking the court to Bilal, and Bilal, he is calling the noble ones from Basra to come attend the issue. Why is he having them come? يَتَشَفَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. يَتَشَفَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. So he's getting the other, Bilal is calling for the noble ones of Basra to come and try to intercede. To intercede for the man who slapped the boy. To intercede on his behalf. فَأَبَى أَن يُشَفِعْهُمْ. Qatada, he refused to accept their intercession. He refused to accept their intercession. فَقَالَ لَهُ سُكَّهُ كَمَا صَكَّكَ. Slap him the way he slapped you. This is, it came down. They don't want, he won't take the intercession. He said, okay, slap him the way he slapped you. Slap him the way he slapped you. فَقَالَ لِبْنِهِ. So Qatada, he said to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ احسر عن ذراعيك وارفع يديك وشد. He said, oh my son, pull up your sleeves and raise your hands and get ready. It should, and I mean, pull your hands back and like you're gonna let him have it. Like this. Subhanallah, he says, قال فحصر عن ذراعيه ورفع يديه. So he pulled his son, he pulled up his sleeves and he lifted up his hands. And then whenever he lifted up his hands, he says, فَأَمْسَكَ قَتَادَةُ يَدَهُ. At this time, when he lifted up his hands, he's ready to punch. Qatada grabbed his hands. Qatada grabbed his son's hand, and he says, وَقَالَ قَدْ وَهَبْنَاهُ لِلَّهِ. At this time, when his hands are right there, ready for his son to get his right back in front of everybody, at this time, he grabbed his hand, and he said, we let it go for the sake of Allah. We let it go for the sake of Allah. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يُقَالُ لَا عَفْوَ إِلَّا بَعْدِ الْقُدْرَةِ. He said, verily, we let it go for the sake of Allah, because it used to be said, or it's from that which is said, from the wisdom in Proverbs, that there's no pardoning except after having ability. And after having the ability and the power to take one's right back. So this is an example. This is what Ibn Rajab, he's referring to here. And in many of the salaf, that this occurred for them. And that somebody would oppress them, and then they would defend themselves, and then in the end they would pardon. And then he mentioned, like Qatada, this is a beautiful example like this. And all the way to the extent that they tried to intercede on behalf of that man, he did not accept it. He didn't. If he had accepted, then he would have pardoned him without having ability, without the ability. But he wanted to defend his right and his honor, and take his right like this, and then show that he's not weak, and the life's like this, and then pardon after having the ability. And this is from nobility. And this is from nobility and honor and respect. And this is for the way of the salaf. So this is what is being referred to in these noble verses. This is what is being referred to in these noble verses. So there's no contradiction. يعني وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ وَالْكَاظِي مِنَ الْغَيْفِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنَ النَّاسِ. Those who pardon the people, those who repress their angers, whenever they're oppressed, they get angry. What do? They pardon, they forgive the people. And then وَإِذَا أَصَابَهُمْ الْبَغْيُهُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. Whenever oppression afflicts them, they take revenge. And this is what is intended here. Taking revenge, meaning displaying the ability. And then after that, they will pardon. We discussed yesterday, likewise, that the people of knowledge, they mentioned sometimes there are situations where one will not pardon though. Sometimes a person, he will continue. If he were to be pardoned, he will continue. Somebody who is a criminal, if you pardon him, then he will go deeper into his criminal ways and his oppression. He will do it one time and get pardoned, and do it again and get pardoned, and do it again. If pardoning is not bringing rectification, if pardoning is not helping the situation, then one will not pardon. Rather, he will take his right, and the person will be punished, and he will be reprimanded. And this is what is best. So the origin is that one will pardon, but certain situations one will not pardon. And this requires knowledge and wisdom. Maybe it will go back to the issue of what? وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى. And their affair is that day, or they conduct their business in mutual consultation. نعم هكذا. This is the way of a believer. He hear the narrations and he try to follow them. He hear the verses and he will try to apply them. If the situation comes in his life, he will use it. This is what his guide, he's guided by this. It's life for him. I heard the verse, this is what I do. What am I supposed to do? You find the guidance in the Quran. What am I supposed to say? You find the guidance in the Sunnah. And the one who finds the guidance there and then applies it, then he has nothing but khayr. And good. Naam, ahsant. Barakallah fik. So the author, he says, now, فَهَذِي الْآيَاتِ, talking about these verses we just studied here, in Surah Shura. فَهَذِي الْآيَاتُ تَتَضَمَّنُ جَمِيعَ مَا ذَكَرَهُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي وَصِيَّتِهِ لِمُعَاذِ. So these verses here, they consist of everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised and commanded Mu'adh with. What did he command Mu'adh with? رَضِيَ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَمَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيَّةِ الْحَسَنَةَ تَتَمُهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُولِقٍ حَسَنٍ. Alhamdulillah, we're going to learn this hadith, inshallah. This ayat right here, these verses right here, they clarify, they consist of all of that. The detailed clarification of all of that. Likewise, the verses that he mentioned previously as well. So he says this here. He says, فَإِنَّهَا تَضَمَّنَتْ أُصُولَ خِصَالَ التَّقْوَى بِفِعْلِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْإِنْتِهَاءِ أَنْ كِبَانِ الْمُحْرَمَاتِ. He said, because these verses here, they include the foundations of all the fundamentals and the foundations of the attributes of taqwa, piety, by performing the obligations and leaving off the major prohibitions. وَمُعَامَلَةِ الْخَلْقِ بِالْإِحْسَانِ وَالْعَفْوَ. And by dealing with the people, with the creation, with good way, in a good way, and with pardoning. وَلَازِمُ هَذَا أَنَّهُمْ إِنْ وَقَعَ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْكِبَائِرِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ يَكُونُ مَغْمُورًا بِخِصَالِ التَّقْوَى الْمُقْتَضِيَةِ لِتَكْفِيرِهَا وَمَحْوِهَا. And so again, what is this? These people, their attributes are in these verses. They perform all of the commandments, the commandments and obligations of taqwa, and they leave off the major prohibitions and the actions that are impermissible. And they deal with the creation, they deal with the people in a good way, and they pardon them. And this right here, by doing this right here, this necessitates for them that any mistakes or errors that happen from them, from the sins or the minor sins, that's lesser than the major sins and the fawahish, that this all will be drowned out in these attributes of taqwa. And these attributes of taqwa. So the one who learns how to apply, then learns these traits, he learns this knowledge, and then he strives against his soul to apply it, then the deficiencies that he has and the shortcomings that he has, walabud, what would happen to them? Maghmur, I mean they'll be drowned out. They'll be drowned out in the khayr that he has. They'll be drowned out in the khayr that he has and the goodness that he has with him. And they will not harm him, inshaAllah. And this good that he has will necessitate and require that those shortcomings that he has, they'll be expiated. They'll be forgiven. And this is from the mercy of Allah and the kindness of Allah and his vast forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَأَمَّا الْآيَاتُ الَّتِي فِي سُورَةِ آلِ عِمْرَانِ فَوَصَفَ فِيهَا الْمُتَّقِينَ بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ وَبِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ مِنَ الْفَوَاحِشِ وَظُلْمِ النَّفْسِ وَعَدَمِ الْإِصْرَارِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْأَكْمَلُ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْأَكْمَلُ. He says, and as for the verses that are in Surah Ali Imran, what are those verses? The ones we discussed before, وَسَارِيُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ عِدَّةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم الذين before that الذين يفرقون في السراء والضراء والكاذبين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا هم يعلمون أحسن جزاك الله خيرا. Now this is these are the verses he's referring to, the one we studied in the previous classes. So he says, وَالْآيَاتُ عَلَتِي فِي سُورَةِ عَلِ إِمْرَانِ. These verses here, they describe the believers with ihsan to the creation, being good to the creation, and forgiving and seeking forgiveness from the actions of indecency and from oppressing the one's own soul. And they are also not persisting upon that way. And this is more complete. وَهُوَ إِحْدَاثُ التَّوْبَ. And this is by repenting. And if they do not persist upon that way, what does that mean? Meaning that they're making tawbah. They're making tawbah. Ihdathu tawbah. Again, he said, at-tawbah, adamu al-israr. At-tawbah, adamu al-israr. These are very important points on how to deal with oneself, how to deal with one's soul and one's shortcomings. Now he says, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْأَكْمَلُ وَهُوَ إِحْدَاثُ التَّوْبَةِ. And they're not continue, they're not persist. And this is more complete and perfect. And the reality of this is that they repent. They repent. وَالِسْتِغْفَارُ عَقِيبَ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ مِنَ الذَّنُوبِ صَغِيرٌ كَانَ أَوْ كَبِيرًا. And they seek forgiveness after every sin. They seek forgiveness after every sin, whether it's major or minor. Whether it's major or minor. And then he says here, closing this portion here about that we're discussing, he says, وَإِنَّمَا بَسَطْتُ الْقَوْلَ فِي هَذَا لِأَنَّ حَاجَةَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْهِ شَدِيدًا وَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مَغْفِرَتِي وَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يحتاج إلى معرفة هذا ثم إلى العمل بمقتضاه والله موفق والمعين. يعني again, clarifying the way of the Salaf and the scholars and the ulama of the Sunnah, that when they write these works, And whenever they advise the people, whenever they clarify the truth, they're doing it as nusr, as advice and sincere advice. They want good for the people. They want good for the people. They're calling the people to the khayr and clarifying the sunnah because they want good for the people. Allah guided them to khayr, and Allah guided them to goodness, and they have found the beneficial knowledge and the sweetness of that. And they have learned the right path, and they have benefited from that. And now they're striving to help the people. Be upon that way. They're sincere. So he's saying, I don't want it, because for example, many classes, since we opened the message, we're talking about this here. He says, إِنَّمَا بَصَلْتُ الْقَوْلَ فِي هَذَا. I only went this long and went into this great detail about this issue here. And it's all of these pages reading about this topic here, sins and repentance and the good deeds remove the bad deeds and the likes like this and major sins and minor sins. I only went into this great detail here and going in this manner because the people are in dire need of this. The people are in dire لِحَاجَةِ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْهِ شَدِيدًا because of the severe need of the people of mankind for this knowledge. And everyone is in need to know this. وَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ هَذَا. Everybody needs to know this. Everybody needs to know this. Now he says, and then needs to know it, and then ثُمَّ إِلَى الْعَمَلِ بِمُقْتَضَاهُ. Everybody needs to know this right here. And then to apply that which it requires and necessitates. And he says, and Allah, He is the one who gives success, and Allah, He is the one who helps and aids. So this is yani an indication of his sincerity and of his truthfulness with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that he wants good, that he wants good for the people. That even though sometimes the people of knowledge, they'll go into details. Maybe, for example, somebody's knees will be hurting. Somebody is having his back is going along like this. But why? The person is trying to bring khair to them and help them and aid them. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another issue with regards to the issue of sins, following up the bad deed with a good deed, and it will erase it. And that is the issue is or that mas'ala, or the issue, or the question is, if the bad deeds are erased by the good deeds, does that mean they're removed? They're removed from the sahifa, the record of a person. Meaning they're removed entirely. He will not see them whatsoever on the day of resurrection. And they're removed entirely. They wipe them out entirely until they're gone. And the angel had recorded them against him. And then he did a good deed. Are they removed from the record?
It's too howling.
it's
no. Whether it's to expiate some of the good deeds taken.
Sah, is it gonna, whether it's expiated, whether the punishment is removed, is it gonna be written in the end or not? Is the person gonna see it on the day of resurrection or not? That you did this, but you were forgiven, or like this, or this was expiated. Like, is it gonna be seen? Or is it removed from the records in the angels? With Adam, that's the answer. No. Okay, what's the proof? Bad deeds is good. Many of these evidences, he mentioned that again. Yani he has a nafs tawil in this issue, like the rest of the issues. كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. صح. But what about فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever works the ants, the smallest ants weight of good, he will see it. And whoever works the smallest ants weight of evil, he will see it. And this is from the clearest proofs that he will see it. Wallahu a'lam, it will be there. Wallahu a'lam, the ulama, they differed about this. He didn't even mention directly which one, but he indicated yani, to the position that it will be there. He will see it. At least it will be seen. It will be seen. You did this and you did that. And then, I did this and I did that. Like this. Allah knows best. Allah knows best about this affair. After this any issue, he begins discussing the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. This is the third wasiyah, the last part of the narration. And treat the people with good manners. And deal with the people with good manners. And this is where we begin, inshaAllah. in the next class, discussing the issue here of dealing with the people with good manners. So we don't have time to start this portion today. If there are any questions related to the class or comments, corrections, or can I start asking questions too? Go ahead, you ask.
How do we gather between the hadith, the message of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who we grab as calling and a light, and taking account and then forgiving? We have narration from the message of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will not take revenge for himself, only for the religion.
And for the religion. He would pardon the people. Meaning that person, he pardoned him. He pardoned him. No. Yeah, but his companions are there ready. The companions are there ready to do whatever the Prophet... Many times something would happen that would say, let me strike his neck, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet, no, let him go. The Prophet said, no, let him go. Like that, for example, the man, the Prophet is sleeping, he came with his sword over his head. He took the sword out of it over his head. Who's going to save you from me now? Allah. And then he dropped his sword. Who's going to save you from me now? And then what did he do? Let him go. Allahu Akbar. This is an example from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He let him go. He let him go. People would harm him, and he would forgive them and pardon them sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.